While you're in Matthew, turn, look at, let's look at verse, chapter 7, verse 21. Verse 21. Thus saith the Lord, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Spiritual Wolves, Spiritual Wolves. In this verse, it's getting to be the closing verses that the Lord has given on his Sermon on the Mount. And in this verse, what he's doing is he's warning those who deceive themselves that God will not accept lip service. First commandment says we must love God with our heart, all our heart, our mind, and our strength, everything, not lip service. That's not love. Now, that's a message today that the modern church certainly doesn't want to hear. But there has never been a greater need for this message to be heard than in the 21st century evangelical church. Never been a time when there have been so many tares or nominal Christians in the church. Not since before the days of Luther and Calvin has the church been so crowded with those who have a form of godliness but are strangers to the transforming powers that come from a form of godliness. Today, example, how I use the figure, it's probably conservative, but at least a billion people who profess to be Christians have deceived themselves into thinking all is well with my soul. They've deceived themselves when in fact the wrath of God is upon them. Now that sounds like a statement. Well, where do you get all that from? Well, let me show you. Our text, first of all, written over 2,000 years ago, was a warning to counterfeit Christians and a promise. And there's a promise in it to our elect, to the elect. But in order to understand this, open your Bibles and get, let's go back to verse 15, starting in verse 15. Go there with me. In verse 15, Jesus gives a warning about false prophets. He calls them wolves, predators. A false prophet back then is a person who was teaching false doctrine. They were saying, thus saith the Lord, and because they didn't have a Bible back then. And then they were putting in, after they said, thus saith the Lord, whatever they wanted to. The spiritual composition that's found in false doctrine back then and even today is exactly the same. The ingredients in false doctrine is 1 ounce of truth mixed with 15 ounces of traditions, opinions, heresy, and twisted Bible verses. That's what false doctrine is composed of. And we get a perfect example of that, and Paul gives us that in Galatians 1:5-7, when he talks about the Jewish wolves who taught false doctrine. They were teaching the church that the Gentiles had to follow some of the traditions, the Jewish rites that they had before they could be saved, before they were saved. Paul writes, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. You see, it's a different gospel. The very moment you go away from this, you go into a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now look at verses 16 through 20. Here we learn to recognize the progeny of false prophets. Let me get there myself. In verse 16 through 20. Just give me a second. In verse 15, Jesus tells us, you look there, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. That means those people were coming to them with a deceiving spirit of holiness and sincerity, innocence, and harmlessness, which wasn't true. They assumed the appearance of being holy and being spiritual, but they weren't. Last section of verse 15, Jesus declares, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now, I'm of the opinion, and I've been of this opinion for some time now, that people that know Christ know Christ. They know that they're saved. I know that I'm saved. There's no doubt about that in my mind. And if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you know you're saved, period. You're going to sin. Everybody does it. You're going to have days of unbelief. You're going to have all kinds of trials and tribulations. But deep down inside, you know you're saved. One. Number two, all people that are unsaved know they're not saved. They know they're not saved, and they know that they're hostile to God, even if they don't want to admit it. And that includes false prophets. They know what they're doing is wrong. They know it because they read the words, and they understand what they mean to a degree, literally, just not spiritually. And because of that, they know what they're doing is wrong. Don't tell me that Joel Osteen doesn't know what he's doing is wrong. Don't tell me Preflo Dollar doesn't know what he's doing is wrong. Don't tell me that all those televangelists that give another gospel other than the one of Jesus Christ don't know what they're doing and that it's wrong. They all know it. And that's why they're predators. Jesus calls them wolves. And they prey on the silly, the lost. And they devour them. 1 Peter 5:8. They're like a predator, like their spiritual father, a roaring lion seeking whom they may devour. That's the progeny that comes from false doctrine. And they know it. That's the sad thing. They know it. Just as I stand here and tell you, I know this book is the inspired word of God. And it has the power to change lives because it changed my life and it changed your life. And there's no other way a life will be changed. You might be an alcoholic. You might go to an AA meeting and you might come off alcohol. Well, you could say you changed your life. You did. But just one thing. This book changes your life in everything, both now and forevermore. And there's nothing like it. And I know it. And you know it. Just as those that don't have it know it as well. The message that these and other heretics taught and are teaching now, you know what it is? It's the message of antinomianism. Now, that's a long word. And that term means that here's what they think. By grace, Christians are released from their duty to God to obey his word. Let me say that again. By grace, antinomianians believe that they are released from their duty to obey God's word. That's what it was. And it was back in that day too. And it's been ever since the first gospel was preached. Their point is, an antinomianian's point is this. Salvation is by faith, not by the law. So the Christian is not under the penalty of the law. And that part is true. So they're free to live any way they choose. That part is false. Jesus says in John 14, 15, what? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. They figured, and then once these antinomianians back in the day, as well as today, is that not a message that the church, the 21st century, loves to hear? If you're saved, you know God, God loves everybody, you got the ticket, you're going to heaven, you do what you want. That is the message. You know why? Because it fills pews. And pews that are filled fills pocketbooks. And pocketbooks that are filled creates power. And power corrupts power. Period. None of God in it at all. Now, somebody could say, well, you're just kind of sour because you don't have 300 people in your church. I would tell that person, if I had more than 55 or 60 people in the church, it'd be another church. Because that's what a New Testament church is. It's a church where a pastor, and a couple of church officers organize the church and run it, and they know everybody so that they can help them. You get more people than that. I don't know if you had three pastors, if you could know everybody, not to mention get 300 people, get 200, get 150 people, all with the same mind in one church. You can't do it. But that's what false doctrine does. It draws people in, and everybody likes that message, so the pews are filled. And by the way, all those things that I said, aren't they really the foundation for liberalism? Isn't that the foundation of it? No wrath, no judgment, no sin, no holiness, no righteousness, no responsibility, no problem. God loves everyone. Did you get that message? John 3:16, he loves everyone. And aren't there millions right now, millions of professing Christians being taught that right at this very instant while we're here? Isn't that going on in churches now? Isn't liberalism, really, liberalism is humanism. It's celebrating humans. And it's based on the idea that man is essentially good, so God's commandments are irrelevant and not necessary. We're doing good now. We don't need God anymore. And doesn't that mean man's decisions are trumping God's word? Now you could say, well, he's just doing a little rhetoric there. But let me bring it home to you. Let me bring it home to you. Because of the way society is today, and because of the false doctrines in the church today, they think that whatever comes out of the pulpit is God's word, because it's a church, it's a pulpit. Hey, we got an organ, we pray, we take up an offering, it's a church. Of course it has God. So, but we know what we're doing. A lot of churches today preach that changing genders is okay. It's free will. They teach that homosexuality is progressive. Now we're at a stage, our generation's different than the Bible's times, and so now it's okay. Sodom and Gomorrah, well, maybe it happened, maybe it was just a metaphor. Abortion. Woman has a right, and it's her body. And how about flying sexual preference flags in front of the church? Is that all okay? Is it okay to remove God from America, Dave? A country that when our country was in conflict, we enlisted so that we could protect her. Is that okay to take God away? Is it okay to legislate immoral, corrupt laws? Is that okay? And is it okay to call evil good and good evil? And is there one thing that I just said that hasn't happened that you haven't seen yourself? It's everywhere. It's in the church. The church is filthy with it. Isn't this the teaching? People who accept that, isn't that the teaching of ravenous wolves who profess to be Christians? Isn't that what they're bringing into the church today? There are millions of wolf packs of preachers and teachers in churches. They love to quote the scriptures. They love it. They walk around with a Bible. They claim to love Jesus. They refer to him as Lord, my Lord Jesus. I tell you this, scripture tells you this, when they're weighed in the balances, they're going to be found wanting because their lack of godliness, their lack of truthfulness, they're going to be found wanting. And I would tell any of them who are listening to this online, you better enjoy that money and that crowd that you're preaching to, because that's as good as it's ever going to get for you. When you leave this world as a heretic, the only thing you can look forward to is somebody putting a drop of water on your burning tongue. And all of it is because your heart has not been regenerated. Your wills are not surrendered to God. Your lives are not governed by this book. It's for those reasons that your eternal estate is so grim. These are the wolves. Listen, these are the wolves in Jude that Jude wrote about in verses 10 and 11. He said, but these speak evil of whatever they do not know. The Bible, they don't know it. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. You understand? He's calling these people, these false prophets, brute beasts. And these things, they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. That's their estate. And the converts that these spiritual wolves create, they're carbon copies of their teachers. We've had them here. They've come to this church and they sit in a Bible study. That's not true. I don't believe that at all. Oh, well, let's look in a Bible. We have a Bible study. Oh, yeah. But I still don't believe it. They'll yes you to death because you can't deny the Bible. You cannot deny God's word. If it says it, how are you gonna deny it? But you don't have to believe it. And therein lies the problem. They have no faith. They have no God-given faith. They claim to love and be devoted to Christ. But that's a lie. They love him, they say. But that's a lie. They don't love him. You know why? Because they don't believe him or they don't obey him. They don't commit their life to him or submit their will to him. They don't love him at all. It's a lie and they know it. The standard, and remember this, the standard by which our love will be judged by the sovereign God, he gives it to us in John 14, 23, 24. Here's the standard of God's love for us. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You understand that? He's saying, if you love me, you'll keep this word. That means you'll abide in it. You'll live in it. You'll bathe in it. Are you going to make some mistakes? Yeah. Are you going to fall away once in a while? Yeah. He's there to pick you up. We're called children of God because we do that. Children make mistakes. As parents, we love them. We pick them up and we help them. We nourish them. We grow them. That's what this whole life is about. And he says, we'll live with you if you love me that way. Then he goes on and he says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. That's the standard God's judging every single person that stands in front of him on judgment day. If you love me, you'll keep my words. And if you don't, then you don't love me. I never knew you. That's the standard. That's the biblical standard. These disciples of wolves have been seeking Christian victims since Jesus began preaching the gospel. And I want to tell you something. I've said this to Christians since I was saved a year. It was very early in my Christian life. People would come up to me and say, oh, did you see this guy and that guy? No. Why? Because I don't need to see that guy. This is the guy I need to see right here, the guy in this book. And if I don't understand it, I'll go to a commentary and I'll find out what it says. I don't need to listen to anybody else. Why? Because it's so easily to be deceived. If you remember, I said that the ingredients of false doctrine is 1% truth. How many times have I heard people say, well, this guy said this, and it's in the Bible, and they're not saying, well, what about all the other stuff he mixed in with it? What about the context of what he said in context of what it meant? Beware. I know I said this before. When God allowed Satan, he gifted Satan the internet. I don't know if you'll believe that or not, but I believe that even Satan gets gifts. And he got that from God. God gave man the ability to invent the internet. You know why? Now Satan can get us all at one time. A pod, a blog, or false prophets on television, mixing or on the internet, mixing good and evil together, mixing good and evil. And sure, there are many people like Wink and me and maybe Tom who might be able to figure out, hey, that's not right. But for the vast majority of people, they don't get it. Even Christians that are on just getting on milk, they wouldn't get it. That's how deceptive it was. Do you not remember Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, when Satan said to Eve, surely you won't die. If you eat it, you'll know that you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. You see the subtlety in that? And what did she do? She just came from God. She was just made. And she took and she ate. Those of you who watch televangelist, wherever it is, I don't care what their name is. Look at all the people that followed somebody called Ravi Zacharias. Look at that as an example. This is what you need. And a church. But it's got to be a Bible church so that you're able to not just see it, but all the questions you have and all the growth you need comes here. All that other stuff is just stuff. Those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Where am I? Oh. They say that they, but spiritual wolves. No, wait, here it goes. Yes. That's why they've been seeking Christian victims since Jesus Christ. That's why he gave us the warning in our text. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He did that because there were spiritual wolves working back then. He calls them out as wolves. You see, it takes more than sheep's clothing to be a servant of Jesus Christ. It takes more than lip service to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It takes more than quoting scripture to be a child of God. But spiritual wolves that are Christians who claim to love Christ as much as we do, they didn't get that memo. They didn't get it. How do we know that's true? Because spiritual wolves, their life and obedience to Christ doesn't show any love for him at all. Why? Because they're still in a natural state. They have not been regenerated. The Bible teaches us a natural man may claim to believe in Christ, but it's not the divine faith of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man discerneth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned, neither can he know them. He can read the book, he can get the idea of what it's saying, but there's no spiritual significance to him. None, because he's not regenerated. You want an example of that? John 8:42-43. Now here's Jesus Christ, who in verse 31 of that of John 8, in verse 31, he's talking to people that the Bible says believed in him. Let's go there. John 8:42-43. It's important. Mike's taught me that. It's important to have us look at this while we're talking about it, because it brings it home. John 8. Look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, say it, believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Right? See how he does that? Oh, excuse me. I'm in the wrong verse. No, that's right. Now look up at verse 42. At verse 42, he says, if God were your father, now remember, he's talking to these people who claim to be believers. If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Here it comes. Why do you not understand my speech? So in other words, these people were following him. They claimed to believe in him. But all the things he was saying, he's telling them, you don't believe me. They weren't enlightened to what he was saying. Because you were not able to listen to my word is what he finished that with. Convicted by it. You know why people don't want to hear the Bible? I told the Bible study class this morning. Because when you show your light in an unbeliever's face, the moment you talk about God, their hostility against him is raised up. And it's raised up because they're naturally hostile to him, because they know that his wrath is on them, and they know it. You're not able to listen to my word, he says. You are, here it comes. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. This is God telling us about believers who claim to be believers, but they don't love him because they don't live for him. They don't believe in him. These guys believed in what they saw. They did not believe that he was the Son of Man. Now, in that text, there's a few excellent points about unbelievers. First, Jesus testifies that Satan is the spiritual father of all counterfeit Christians. That's an important distinction. I never knew that. Did you? Did you know that before you were saved, that your spiritual father was the devil? My mother used to say that. You know, you're the something with the devil in it. I forget what it was, right? You little devil or something. But here's the reason why. The devil and those people share the same depraved nature. Satan has a depraved nature, and so doesn't the natural man. They both share a hatred of God, and they both practice sin, and they both want to draw a believer away from God. That's the whole premise of it. That's what you're finding out in that. These people have called themselves a believer, and they do it in the same way that people who go out and preach a gospel other than that of Jesus Christ do it exactly the same way. And they're doing it for those reasons. You can't walk into a church that believes in abortion or same-sex marriage or any of that other sinful abomination. You can't walk in there and tell me that the guy in charge of that is a regenerated, born-again Christian. You can't tell me that, because then you're a liar. Because this book doesn't lie. Matter of fact, on this earth, this is the only thing that has no lies in it at all. Secondly, the natural man may believe, the unsaved may believe the person of Jesus, but here it comes. But they don't believe, trust, or follow the biblical Christ. There's a distinction. They may believe in the person of Jesus, the man of Nazareth, but they don't believe, trust, or follow the biblical Christ. And if you're not following the biblical Christ, you're not following God. They're not regenerated, so they don't understand God's word. And we talked about that in 1 Corinthians 2:14. So they take their belief system in Jesus, and they mold his word, 1%, 1 ounce of his word, into a religion that fits their spiritually dead hearts. That's exactly what they do. They use the Bible as a, what do you call it when you put something in something to make it happen? This is like their dough. And in this dough, they'll take a little pinch of this word and they'll put it in a pot And then they'll put in all the things that every lost soul wants to hear, put it in there. They'll add a little holy water to it. They'll mix it all up, and then they'll bake something and make you eat it. That's exactly what they do. That's every false gospel. That's what they do. And although they call Jesus their Lord, their hearts are nowhere near him. Proof verse, Isaiah 29:3. The Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. There's people that do that, that go outside of this word or add all the other things into it. They don't have a heart for God. They have a heart for the devil. They're doing the devil's will. Isn't the whole purpose of Satan? He can't do anything to us. God said, you could do anything you want to Job, but don't kill him. He couldn't possess him. He could make his life miserable, which he did. He could take away everything he had, which he did. But that's the best he could do. And through that, Job came through not once cursing God. Even when his wife said that, curse God and die. Oh, foolish woman. I came into this world with nothing, and it's sure I'm going to leave it with nothing. You understand that? And so that's their whole, that's the Satan and all his little pup wolves, if you will. That's all they want to do, is they want to discourage, dissuade all of God's children, because that's the best they can do. And by the looks of evangelical Christendom today, they're having a heyday. And then, and also, another verse to go with Isaiah 29:13 in the New Testament is Luke 6:46. Speaking to counterfeit Christians, Jesus said, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Goes back again to obeying him. When Jesus declared in our text, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, his point was to expose the wolves as a false teacher of the gospel. He was also exposing their converts and warning them that giving him lip service will for sure keep them out of heaven. That means they're going to end up in a lake of fire. If you're listening to this right now and you don't know that you're born again, I mean really know it. I mean your life hasn't changed. The question I have for you is why? Why would anybody get caught up in a religion that has nothing for them except just to make them happy while they're there? That's what false prophets do. They'll take a congregation. This church would probably hold 150 people, right, Tom? Maybe 150. Imagine filling it up. I could fill it up in 3 months, put an ad in the paper, and just talk about liberal things that we got going on over here. You know how I know that? Because that's where this church was when I got here. It was filled, not filled completely, but it had quite a quantity of people who just wanted their ears tickled. They didn't want no responsibility. They didn't want the King James only. They didn't want anything. They just wanted what they wanted. Well, God didn't like that. When I walked in here, Ichabod was on the door. God has departed. And I told God before I came here, Lord, they've had nothing but false preachers in there probably for the last 30 years, maybe more. This church was founded by God-loving people. They love God enough to leave their wealth to the church. And doing that, it, just for to keep it going. But somehow Satan got in here, and when he did, he squandered things, and he quenched the word of God, and they were preaching something other than the gospel. They were preaching humanism, liberalism. Well, I told God, you want me up there? No problem. I'm your servant. But listen to this. You have to give me a sermon every single Sunday. I'm not going to make one up. I'm not going to read a book and just preach through the book. I want you to give that to me. If I'm your servant, then you give me the message, and I'll pass it on. And in how long, Tom? 4 months? 3 months? Wasn't long. There were six people left. That was it. out of maybe 60 or 70. Tom and Doreen, the last two. They know they were here. Wink and Pam came in shortly thereafter while they were still leaving. Point I'm trying to make to you is this. When you preach the truth and nothing but the truth, people don't want to hear it unless God calls them in. And I would say that at least half this congregation came here because God brought them in, and they all came for the same reason. They wanted the truth. They didn't want a guy that was up there, an eloquent speaker, which I'm not. They didn't want anything but the truth. Just tell me about the true God. And he brought him here because he knew that he had a servant here that only would tell them the truth, even if it hurt him. We have probably lost, or not lost, we have probably had visitors, I would say maybe, I'm going to be conservative, I'll say 30, maybe 40, in 15 years, just come and go, because they didn't want to hear the truth. And all of you that are here now and have been here for any length of time, you're only here because you want to hear the truth. There's no other reason. That's the difference between false prophets and wolves and somebody that really wants to know the word of God. You're never going to fill a church with a bunch of people like that, because there aren't that many of them around. There's some, but there's not that many around. That's why the Bible calls God's people a what? A remnant. If you're lost and you haven't come to Christ, you're listening to this, and you feel him stirring your heart, you feel him moving you to know the truth and not just religion, not just a church, but you want to know the truth about Jesus Christ, all you have to do is tell him that I confess my sins to you. There's so many, I don't have the time to tell you right now, because I'd be here a day and a night and a day and a night and a day and a night. So I'm just going to say, Jesus, save me. And be honest in your heart if that's what you want. If you want to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. All you have to do is just be repent of your sin. First of all, know you're a sinner and repent of it. And want Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you do that, the Bible says that he'll call you into his kingdom. He'll adopt you. And he'll give you the mind of Christ so that when you do read your Bible, you will know what it means spiritually. And most importantly of all, when you transfer from this life to the next life, you will be an heir with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven. Contrary-wise, if you don't do that, then buckle up. This life can be a real pain in the you-know-what. And if you don't have Christ, you're doing it on your own. He's not there to help you. At least with Christ, we have everything we need to get the victory to get through this life. Not to mention, if you leave this world in your sin, that's what you're going to bring with you. Christians bring their spiritual fruit to God, what they did while they were here. Unsaved people bring their sin to God. And when they stand before him with that sin, he judges them. You're here and standing in the second resurrection because you left the world in your sin. So now it's time to pay. And you're all going to be going into the lake of fire for what you did. That's what's going to happen. That is the way the Bible portrays it. So you make a decision. If you really want to know the truth, and you want that truth to set you free from everything. And you want to have an eternal life that isn't burning up. Call or see me, and I'll show you in his word how he's calling you. He's stirring you. He wants you. He wants you to be one of his kids, one of his children. He wants you to know the truth, and he wants this truth to set you free from the worst enemy you'll ever face, yourself. And come to him. You call or see me, and I'll show you how to do it. I'm almost done. In the last section of the text, we find the reward for the true believer. He who does the will of my Father in heaven. The term does the will of my Father is speaking to those who have surrendered their hearts to Christ. It's speaking to those who live and walk in his word, to those who want God, who want his righteousness to reign over them. Those whose goal is to please God every single day. You wake up, that's what you want to do. And those who want to be conformed to his image. The kingdom of heaven, the glory and kingdom of heaven is reserved for only those elect children. He calls out of the darkness and he calls into the kingdom of his beloved son. Now, while we wait for him to come again, that is when while we're living our lives waiting for Christ to come the second and the last time, or waiting for him to call us home through the vehicle of death, we have his promises now and forevermore. We see them right now in Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. They're promises to comfort us while we wait. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. Listen to the word you in this. I'll start again. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, who he formed, you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Two verses, he said you 12 times. How about that? 12 times. That could be interpreted this. But now thus says the Lord who created Pam, O Jacob, who formed Pam, fear not, for I have redeemed you, Pam. I have called you by your name, Pam. When Pam passes through the waters, I'll be with Pam, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm Pam. Do you understand that? All of those things go to every single believer. Two verses, 12 times. That's love. And you know what? He loves you more than you could ever imagine. And that's just a very small example. He loves you that much. That's your spiritual takeout. I want you to take home. This is a spiritual takeout place, you know. We don't eat in, we eat out. Because you come here, you learn, and you take that out and you use it. The spiritual takeout is Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Metaphorically speaking, God loves you 10 times or 12 times more than you can ever imagine. So you know what? Return the favor this week by serving and loving him just as much as he loves you. Do that, and then buckle up and watch what God will do in your life. Let's pray.